Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your provision and plan and program, Father. We thank you that our pastor is back here in the States. Father, we pray that you strengthen him, you increase the hedge of protection round about him, you give any doctors wisdom and knowledge and recall with restoring his health, and we pray for his family, and we thank you for this time that we get to spend in your word today, Father. It's such a blessing. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Join with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 19. And I'll be reading out of the King James Version, so I'm a little bit used to. I'll borrow Gina's Bible real quick. But it's an interesting story about Abraham and Lot. And we'll read down through verse 7 real quick. Genesis 19, 1 through 7. And there came two angels to Sodom in the evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet. And you shall rise up early and go on your way." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and he did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. And what's interesting here is Lot, we find him sitting at the gate of the city. And what's interesting, if you look back to one chapter, in verse 18, this is when, chapter 18 rather, that Abraham, he's sitting, and some angels appear to him. I'll read just a few verses there. Chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. "And the Lord appeared unto him by the oaks of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men stood by him. And when he saw him, he ran to meet them at the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, 'My Lord, if I now have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from my servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort you in your hearts, after that you shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to the servant.' And they said, 'So do as thou said.'" Now, we have two different contrasts that are going to go on here in these chapter 18 and 19. Abraham, when he prepares his feast, you see a lot of energy. He's 99 years old at this time. And I don't have my Bible with me that I normally use. Verse 6, that he said, "Make ready quickly." And then verse 7, "And Abraham ran to the herd." And I believe there's another verb here that talks about the urgency that Abraham is preparing this feast for him. Verses in chapter 19, Lot makes a meal for the angels. And it's interesting. You don't see the same eagerness and enthusiasm. But one thing you see about a Lot here is that he's now sitting in the gates. When he and Moses first split up, they came to their herds were competing for grasslands. And Abraham said to Lot, "You pick which way you want to go, to the left or to the right. It's your choice." And Abraham could have chosen first, but he gave that to Lot. And Lot chose the fertile pastures of the area of Sodom and Gomorrah. But they split up, and now we find when Lot first went away, he was outside the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and then he moved closer, and now we find him here in verse 19 sitting at the gates. They were known as a wicked area where sin was openly practiced. And now it will pick up in chapter 19, verse 4. "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, 'Where are the men who came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them.' And Lot went out of the door and unto them, and shut the door after them." And he's telling the men of the city here in verse 7, "And I pray, brethren, do not do so wickedly. And Abraham offers up his daughters here in verse 8. Behold now, I have two daughters who have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them unto you and do them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore they came under the shadow of my roof. And verse 9, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came unto sojourn, and he will, he needs be a judge. Now we'll deal with these worse than these, than with them. And they pressed hard against the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. So these men of the city want these two angels that are visiting Lot. They want to have relations with them, is about how we'll leave it this morning. But the angels recognize the wickedness that is going on. And in verse 11, they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they were wearied. They wearied themselves to find the door. Their blindness was a sense of confusion and total. They lacked any type of comprehension. They couldn't find the door. And the men, verse 12, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou any besides son-in-law? These are angels talking to Lot. Verse 12, has there any besides these, son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters? Whosoever is in the house of the city, hast in the city, bring them out of the place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry has become great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And what's interesting in verse 14, that his sons-in-law thinks that he's just mocking. They don't understand the urgency of the situation. And so Lot went out and spoken to his sons, who married his, to his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocketh unto his son-in-law. He's just talking that the son-in-laws aren't taking him serious. It's a lack of respect that they're giving to Lot. In verse 15, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened unto Lot, saying, take the wife and take thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And what's interesting in verse 16, it says, and while he lingered, and in the King James, it says he hesitated in the NASB. And that's an interesting thing that's being pointed out here. The urgency has been put upon him. He's been told by the angels what's going to happen. And he lingered. You see his love of the world and his love of temporal life. So the continuing verse 16, the men laid upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them. And they brought them forth and set them outside of the city. There's a picture for us as new age saints that we see God in this moment of danger ordering his angels to show mercy, it says. Merciful, the Lord being merciful unto them. So he rescued them out of the fire. In verse 17, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Now you notice a little bit of selfishness of Lot here in verses 18, 19, and 20. Five times he uses the personal pronoun, I, me, my. And what's interesting is that you don't hear him speaking of his wife and his daughters. And that's very interesting that he's thinking of himself. In verse 18, and Lot said unto them, O not so, my Lord. Behold now thy servant found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnify thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil overtake me and I die. So you see a lot of selfishness on Lot's part. He's not speaking of a city, of his daughters or his wife there. Verse 21, and he said unto him, see, I have accepted this thing concerning also that I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. The angels had told him they're not going to He wanted to escape. In verse 22, haste thee, escape thee, for I cannot do anything till thou come thee. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. In verse 23, the sun rise upon the earth when Lot entered unto Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew the cities of all the plain, and the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. In Jude, the book of Jude, we're told that it was Sodom and Gomorrah and three other cities. And it's estimated by archaeologists and so forth, it was from 3 to 4 million people that came under the judgment of the Lord at this time. In verse 26, we have the sad story of, we saw earlier where Lot hesitated, and now we see his wife. But as verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. There's a picture for us that when we receive instruction from the Lord to act upon it and not hesitate and not look back. In verse 27, and it says, Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord and looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Abraham is in the town of Mamre. It's about 50 miles north-northwest of this area. And he's seeing this volcanic fire and brimstone, the smoke rising from the cities, as it's told to us. I'm looking forward, just as a side note, we have a biblical archaeologist coming here for a couple of weeks in April. And we have Glenn's artifacts that the Carnegie family's donated for us to all share. It's brand new. I hope everyone saw it as they were walking in today. But I look forward to talking to that biblical archaeologist about the location of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's generally accepted at the Dead Sea. It's interesting that that area is the lowest point on earth. And we know in the Bible it told us that when Abraham and Lot chose this, Lot chose that area because it was rich. It was part of the Jordan Valley. It was fertile. It was a place to raise his cattle and sheep. He was a wealthy man in that regard. And now, to this day, it's a desolate place. But anyhow, let's resume in our text. In verse 29, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Verse 30, and Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn daughter in chapter 31 said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make a father, let our father drink wine, and we shall lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with his father, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the next day that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay that night with my father, let us make him drink wine that night also, and go thee in and lie with him, and we may preserve the seed of our father. In verse 35, and they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose, lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus the two daughters of Lot were with child by their father. And the firstborn son called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger son also called his name Ben-Ammi, in the name of the father of the children is Amnon to this day. And what's interesting there is in verse 37 and 38, the Moabites, the Ammonites, are to this day enemies of the nation Israel. They're a stumbling block to them. They continually, to this day, are a stumbling block in sin against the nation Israel. They were the father of, those two men were the fathers of the god of Molech. They worshiped the god of Molech. They did child sacrifice. They performed great evil. And what's interesting is this is the last time we read about Lot as far as a personal nature. We find out about Lot throughout the rest of the scriptures as a picture of judgment, as a picture of sin and wickedness. And yet, contrast that with the life of Abraham. Abraham in chapter... I don't have my notes with me, but at the end of the book of Genesis, we find him dying a ripe old age, it says in Scripture. He died with a full family and with blessing and with peace, unlike the picture of Lot here. There's so much to be said about these two men. And I've taught today up here without my notes, and I've really blown through this chapter. But I know you all understand the situation. And if we could, let's have just a moment of silent prayer and reflection. And then I'll close us in prayer. And we'll just have a nice time of fellowship. It was just so awesome yesterday. We had over 25 people here. And we had people didn't lift a broom or a hammer, but they bought in food. They bought in groceries. They would run and fetch water and tea and what have you. I mean, I was almost spoiled, you know, from being offered so many things. And we had so many people that were working and sweating and stuff, and it made the place a disaster. I feel sorry for poor Kim, who worked so hard. Kim and others that worked so hard the day before. They had what you see in the lobby, like it is right now, in the cafeteria. We made a nuclear bomb go off. There was dust. It was confusion. Sawdust everywhere. I've never seen so much sawdust in all my life. And look at these chairs that God's blessed us with. What a provision. It made such a difference. I didn't even know it was going to happen like this. I didn't know how they would look. God's very much alive in this church. We have the women's Tuesday night thing going on. We have the CEF Good News Club that's out there in the... performing great work. We hear of children being saved every week, and there's many in this assembly that are part of that. I'm just so thankful to be here, and I know we all are. And it's led by Pastor Bob. He had this blueprint of this floor plan 3 or 4 years ago that he wanted. This is what he saw. It would put out there for us as a goal, and I know we all share the same Thanksgiving. There's just so much to be thankful for. A lot of it starts with him, and I'm kind of concerned about it right now, and let's just go ahead and close our meeting, and we'll have some nice time of fellowship. I thank you for our visitors here today. I pray y'all give us another chance to hear some better teaching and so forth. But thank y'all for coming. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Merciful Father, we thank you for this time today. We thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you for the work that's going on here, the Tuesday night ladies prayer meeting, the work of all the Sunday school teachers, Father. The work of so many deacons here. We pray for their strength and their families. Most of all, Father, we pray for the earthly shepherd you gave us. Here's a man who what many would consider a vacation, went and taught almost 40 lessons on the other side of the world. He values your word deeply, and we're so blessed to have him be our earthly shepherd, Father. We're his sheep. He's the man that you put before us to communicate your word. We thank you for so many here that are involved in the family of this lampstand, Father. We pray for Pastor Bob's restoration of his health. We pray for his strength. We pray for the coming Chafer Conference down in Houston this week. We pray for a little downtime for the pastor, that he can rest a little bit and return to this pulpit, Father. We pray for the second hour, Father, that we're going to have here. I'll be teaching out of the book of Jude, and I just thank you for this time. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.